violence camp, never came back. This was Soviet Union back then. And when I was growing up, I remember KGB came to our home, searched for the Bibles, and confiscated everything we have at that time. I'm glad my father didn't go to prison, because we didn't have a lot, like piles. But we were distributing very quickly among the Christians. My uncle was involved in the smuggling Bible into Soviet Union from Germany, from, you know, through Poland, from other, through other countries. But we grew up, you know, hiding in places, meeting in the forest as youth. There was like very secretly. But praise the Lord, God gave freedom. We escaped. We came to Sacramento as refugees from Ukraine. And God called us to go back. I'll go to this later, but I would like to start with Word of God, and I would like to read with you from Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark is second book in the New Testament, chapter 2, from verse 1. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there. There was no room left, not even outside the door. And he, Jesus, preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. When Jesus saw their face, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was that they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that may you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." It's a wonderful story how Jesus was coming somewhere. There was before that he was performing miracles, but he always did miracles, not like a showman, but he was doing miracles so people can believe that he is the Son of God. He is a God alone, himself, who coming to save the world, to forgive sins. And how he can prove that he is God? He was performing miracles. He raised the dead. He was healing people who were needy. Everything he was doing to people believe. And after most of the passages when he was performing miracles, people began to believe, or disciples began to believe. And this was the main point. People began to believe that he is the Son of God. He is the one who is coming. He's a lamb who will come and save the world. He's a perfect sacrifice. And when people were coming to some place, it was heard that he's at home. So people knew. You can put this picture down, so later. Not necessary. It's not about us. It's about God, you know. So when Jesus was coming, there was people heard that he was around, and people was gathering. I'm always asking this question to myself. When I'm speaking, I'm talking to people, do I speak about God, or just speak about, like when we talk in our family and our work, wherever we go, we need to include Word of God in our speech. We need to talk about God everywhere we go. It need to be part of us. If I'm born again believer, I need to speak out to other people. People need to hear that I have something special. I'm special because, not because of me, because of him. He lives in me. He changed my life. I'm born again because of him. We need to speak about this. And when peace was around, Jesus was around. There was around people around. Jesus was lots of people all the time. Crowd was following him, and he was speaking the word because he was the word of God. He was speaking the word. And there was many who gathered there, and there was no room, even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Can you imagine in a room, crowd, lots of people, and suddenly, like in this room, the door, like ceiling is starting to dig. Somebody's digging through the ceiling and opening. I don't think the owner of the house was very happy that somebody's broken through the window. You know, but it's very unusual why they went through the window. Usually the people goes into the house through the door. If not possible through the door, they go through the window, but never through the roof, right? Never. So for me, it says something. There was emergency. These people, it says, the four men was carrying probably their friend. And they probably tried other places, didn't work. They decide to go to Jesus. And there was an urgency. Maybe he was dying because it says he couldn't speak because Jesus didn't ask him any questions. Usually Jesus was asking, what do you want? And people were saying, I want to see, I want to walk. In this case, he didn't ask anything. So I'm assuming he was very sick, paralyzed, he couldn't walk. Probably he couldn't talk because he didn't ask him questions. Jesus was seeing their face. It says Jesus saw their face. So they came and it was urgent. Probably he was dying or so. They came and they dig the roof and put this paralyzed man down right in the middle of the room where Jesus was speaking. So in this world, people without Christ like a paralytic. They are paralyzed by what? By sin. That's what paralyzed people. Everybody's sinner, including me, including Pope, including Patriarch of Russia. They all sinful men. There is no sinless. Only Jesus was sinless. Why? Because he was born from a virgin. There was no two sinners. When two sinners get together, they give birth to another sinner. It is. But Jesus was born from the virgin without physical, like man, husband. So the Holy Spirit came to Jesus. That's why Jesus was different than any other man on the world. And he was sinless. That's what Jesus. Only him can forgive sins, nobody else. And people didn't believe it. They thought that he was a regular guy. No, he was Son of God. He came to save the world. And when he was seeing the face of these four men, you know what? Bible doesn't give the name of these guys. Maybe it's not important, but what they did is very important. They have faith that only Jesus, nobody else, can heal this guy, their friend. And Jesus saw their face. He said to paralytic, get up, take your bed, and go home. Jesus saw their face. I call these guys missionaries. And we all of us are missionaries. We have a special mission. We need to bring our friends, your friends, to Jesus. No matter what, no matter how. If it doesn't work regular way through the door, we need to go through the roof. It's urgency. People are dying without Christ. They go to hell. This is the truth. The Bible says, there is no other way who can go to my Father except Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And people without Christ, they go to hell. And we are the missionaries. We are people who can bring our friends to Jesus. Or if it's impossible to bring them to Jesus, we need to bring the Word of God, Jesus, to them. That's our mission. We are on this mission. And it's urgency. People are dying. Without Christ, our friends are dying. Without Christ, we need to bring them. That's our mission. It's my mission. It's your mission. Jesus, he elect us to do this mission in this world. So we can bring the good news to Jesus. But as usually, there was always people who would not like us. Definitely. Yeah, there was Pharisee at that time. And maybe this time people will be not liking us either. There were some people who said, oh, what are you talking about? Who are you? I said, I'm nobody, but the God who I'm serving, he's everything. So I'm serving him. That's why I'm bringing you good news. And there was people at that time didn't like Jesus, what he was doing. There was Pharisee. And today, lots of people who I'm preaching, I'm speaking to them, and they don't like it. So no matter what, they think we need to obey the word of God. And this word of God is very clear. You need to go and make disciples among all nations, not just one nation, two nations, all nations. It means all tribes, all ethnic groups in the world. Because it says in the Revelation, people from all over, from every single ethnic group will come and worship God. How? Today, one third of the world population never heard the gospel. Not just never heard the gospel, they didn't have a chance to hear the gospel. Because they live in Muslim world, Hindu world, Buddhist world, that they have no missionary access. Some such countries has prohibited missionaries to come in. Some people, some countries is not very friendly. Some even countries hostile to missionaries who bring in good news. So as usually, there was people, and you'll be in your life, in my life, will be people who will not like what you said. But Jesus said, you know, who can forgive sins but God alone? They didn't believe that he was God. And he was proving, because of doing this, I'm proving I'm God. I can do it. And many people don't believe it, that Jesus is the God. He is the Son of God. He is the one who can save your life. And so at the end of this passage, it says, he can forgive sins. He's God. And he can raise dead. He can raise a paralyzed man. And he told this guy, get up, take your mat, go home. And this was a miracle. Everybody was amazed and praising God. So every miracle that Jesus was performing, it was because he wants people to praise God. That's main point. And everything we do in our life, preaching the gospel, living a godly life, like sharing good news with neighbors, to proclaim God. Not because of me, us. It's because of God. We need to glorify God. Everything for his glory. He's worthy. He's worthy. That's what we're doing. And I would like to share a little bit about our life, how God called us to go back to Russia. When I was came to America and I found there's lots of churches here. We in Ukraine didn't have a lot of churches, a lot of believers. But when I came here, see churches on every corner, I said, God, what a blessed country. I wish someday over there in Russia, and I found out that Russia has very little churches, especially you go east, it's less and less churches. And we ended up in the city of Tambov. And now you can start this little picture. This is my wife and me. We have three kids. They're grown. And two of them are married. And we have one grandchild. My wife is with grandchild at home. That's why she couldn't go with me today. But we are full-time missionaries with SEND International to Russia. We don't call SEND International over there, because we attach to the mission organization. We call Team Unity, but SEND International's mission agency that's sending us, it's called goes with Star Churches as evangelize unreached, nurture disciples and develop leaders. That's what SEND International does, and we go from start, you know, evangelize the unreached, and the nurture disciples, and then develop leaders and start churches. That's our goal, to start churches among the unreached people groups. Okay, I need to go. I forgot it's me. It's not moving. Maybe it's not. Okay, this is former Soviet Union. I grew up in a former Soviet Union in a very, very western part of Ukraine, right here. This smiley, it's called where I was born. And it's Ukraine, and this is Russia. So when Soviet Union collapsed, we started to go short-term mission trips to different places in Russia where small churches, this was trips, when I did a short-term, we didn't call it short-term mission trips, but we were coming to help little tiny small churches to serve with them and encourage to do evangelism and stuff. So one of the cities I came, it was Ufa. It was 25 years ago. And when I came there, there was no roads. In some places, when you go for rural places, there is no roads. On winter time, we can go only by this is a river. This is not road. It's a river, frozen. March, April, and then in February we can go and reach some smaller towns only by river and lakes, winter time, because there was no roads in some parts of this area. This was 45 years ago when we were going there, and was so blessed. We were so blessed to be reaching out. This is Bashkortostan. I need you to remember this place. It's one of the unreached people groups, Bashkortostan. It's one of the stans like Kazakhstan, Bashkortostan, like Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. All these stans, it means they're like small nations. And one of them in Russia, Bashkortostan, 1.6 million Bashkirs live there. And Tatarstan is next door to Bashkortostan. We are reaching these two unreached people groups in Russia. This was a church 25 years ago when I came. There was mostly older people. There was no youth. And our goal was to reach young people. The church will be growing. There was only one church in city of 1.2 million people, city of Ufa. And I said, God, there has to be lots of churches in the city. And we were praying, God, is it possible for more churches to be in the city? So we were praying, and we were involved in the second church plant back then 25 years ago. And after 2 years being in ministry, this was... we have people who got saved, and especially young people. It was me and it was Pastor Andrei, who is now pastoring this church, and some of them church planters to other churches. So we had some young people after being there. So then God called us to go to a different place. We were for a while in a city of Tambov and Lipetsk in central Russia, where it's also small churches. We were having small groups in our home, and we had a drug rehab ministry. This guy was Vadim. His name is Vadim. He was a drug addict for 6 years, and we met him on the street and just took him to rehab center. And then after being in the rehab center for a year, God changed his life, and now he's a different man, and he has family and two kids, and he got married because he was living with this girl before, and we need to decide something. You need to get married to her or what? Because Bible says you need to be not living without marriage. So they get married. We were doing this in our church to this guy. He's a different man. He's leading other people to the Lord, and so praise the Lord. Yeah, there's other people who was former drug addicts came to know the Lord, and their families and kids, and it's growing ministry in that place where we've been in central Russia, and we were involved to church planting. So this is house of prayer at a church outside, and this is inside a church in this area we were serving before in central Russia, in city of Tambov. It's a small church, but it's growing. People getting saved and discipling. It's a Russian town, but God called us to go back to this place we were 25 years ago, Bashkortostan in Russia. And a year and a half, we came back with my family, and started to reach Tatars and Bashkir. So Russia has 185 ethnic people groups unreached with the gospel. So the biggest one is Russian, of course. Second biggest is Tatar, 5.3 million people. Bashkirs is the third biggest group, 1.6 million people. And city of Ufa, the capital of Bashkortostan, 1.2 million. We live in this capital, like big city. It goes to 10 biggest cities in Russia, 1.2 million. In this just area where we live, the six unreached people groups, just in this area, Bashkirs, Tatars, Mariel, Udmurt, Chuvash, Mordvin. So we are focusing on first two, which is Muslim. The rest is pagan. They worship trees and the sun and, you know, moon and stars. It's a pagan. Still, they worship, go in their forest and worship trees and stuff. It's, yeah, they it's old. Before Russia became Orthodox, there was a pagan religion. And now they're moving back to their old roots. They call roots, Russian roots. But Tatars and Bashkirs, I put them in green. They're Muslim. I don't know how many centuries ago they was converted to Muslim, but they are descendants of Tatar and Mongol, this area, and they look like Kazakh people. So they speak in six different languages. It's a separate languages. We don't know them yet, but we are learning. As we go there, we are learning step by step. So we would like to have a church among the Tatars and Bashkirs. There is not a single church among them. There is Russian church, but they're not quite reaching them. It changes little by little. They see more. We need to reach Tatars and Bashkirs. But 25 years ago when I was there, there was no clue. When people was asking, are you reaching these kind of people? And the believers were saying, oh, no, they're Muslims. They don't need, they're different faiths. And now we understand we need to reach everybody. And there are more Russian churches reaching out to these ethnic groups. Praise the Lord. That's how they look like. This is Bashkirs. This is Tatars. This is Mariel. They worship in trees. And this is Udmurt. These different ethnic groups have different culture, different, everything's different. And Russia is so multinational country. And we are trying to reach them. And 2 years ago, three years ago, New Testament, Injil, which on the right, Injil, it's a New Testament in the Bashkir language, which was first published. Completed, and we have New Testament. On the right, we have the whole Bible. It's a Torah, Zabur, and Injil, which is New Testament. It's the whole Bible of Tatar language. So we, about 3 years ago, we have already people working for 15, 20 years to complete this New Testament and the whole Bible. So they have a gospel in their language. And now we need, apostles who will go there, missionaries who will go there. And third stage will be establish national church. And the fourth stage will be national pastors who will be leading these churches and multiplying. So we are on stage from two, like to three, maybe these stages, little by little. We need to first New Testament, then missionary, and then churches, and then national pastors. This is what we would like to see in all these languages. And they will have ethnic churches and ethnic pastors who will be leading and reaching way more than we can do as foreigners. So we came there, was planning with local pastors. This is Nail. He's a like chief pastor on this area, Bashkortostan and Tatarstan. He's Tatar himself and Bashkir, half and half, and he's the one who is there. And there are some people who got saved. It's me and another fellow missionaries. And this is Tatars in dark brown and Bashkirs in green. So this is how it's believers who became believers, and we were on a conference with them, and it was great to see they're singing in their Bashkir language, and we are helping them to reach more people, understand their culture, and that's what we are doing, trying to help them develop. And this is the story of Marcel. And there's another Tatar family. So Marcel is Bashkir. He was an imam who finished medrese, which is Islamic school of religion in Ufa, in this capital. And when he finished, he was 23 years old, and he was asking questions. Because he was really, in Islam, you don't supposed to ask questions. You need to obey. Islam, it means obedience. You need to obey Allah. And that's what you need to do, is obey what Quran says. But he was asking, who is Isa? Who is Jesus? In Quran, it says he was born from a virgin. Okay, he began to think, how other prophets was not born from a virgin? He's the only one. Who is he? And he was asking questions to this like his teachers. And they say, oh, Satan in you, demons in you. Don't ask this question. You know, don't ask questions. Just obey, listen, forget about this. Go ahead. Study Muhammad and Quran. And he was asking again, who is Isa? Who is Jesus? He was the only prophet who was performed miracles. Muhammad didn't perform any miracles, but Isa did. Jesus did. So who is he? And then he was later in Quran, it says that he was ascended to heaven. Quran doesn't say he was died and rose again. This is not there. Allah took him alive to heaven. And if he's alive, we can pray to him, yeah? So he began to think how, little by little, he's more than a prophet, not just, he's more than that. He's a son of God. And that's how he went. But you know, son of God, no, Allah, he cannot have children, Allah. And he cannot have children. But then, we are now asking questions. If Allah is almighty, He's almighty, yes, yes, he can do everything, yes, he can do everything. Can he have a child without a wife? Yes, he can. He's almighty. That's how people need to start thinking, because when they start thinking, and Marcel was asking questions, and there was a school, Bible school, they were sending like correspondence, like lessons to him from Kazan. It's a city of Tatarstan. It's very well known. And if something goes from Kazan, it's like going from Mecca. It's perfect. So he was answering these questions to the there was some pointing to Injil. You need to read New Testament and Old Testament about Isa. And he was writing down, sending back and forth these conference courses. And he became a believer. He became a believer and he started to preach Isa, Jesus, in mosque more than Muhammad. And some people didn't like it. Some people like it. So he was called to the main school of Islam and asking questions. Who are you? What are you preaching? Why are you preaching about Isa? Where do you learn it? He said, from New Testament. You're reading in New Testament? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? He said, yes. He was here very straight. At that time, he was very straight. And they kick him out. They want to kill him. But our brothers came to him and found him and just began to fellowship with him. So we relocate him to a different place because they want to kill him. He's a devout believer, get married, has three kids. He's preaching the gospel in different place in Bashkortostan. It's far away, 600 kilometers. It's like 400 miles. Different. We are traveling to him just once a month, help him, encourage him. He has a small group over there preaching the gospel. Very bright, very powerful man. It's a miracle how God changed his life. Yeah, and praise the Lord. We have stories like that. Marcel, it's a wonderful guy. So what we need? We need prayer partners who will be praying for our family, our ministry, and also we want prayer partners who will be praying for Bashkirs and Tatars to come to Christ. And of course, we need to pray for that ethnic churches will be planted. That's our need, what we need right now. And if you can pray for us, it will be a big blessing for us because we need prayers and we believe in prayers and you are the praying church. Praise the Lord. And we want to thank you that you are praying for us. And maybe you have questions or Pastor Jim will be asking questions. I would like to answer you. Yes. Tatars, yeah. In Russia. Yeah.
Mike, we're asking if we can go back in the slides to the statistics page where it mentioned how many peoples were in each city.
Yeah, it's a nations. Tatars and Bashkirs. It's ethnic groups, unreached people groups. It's a Muslim. So 5.6 people's groups. I'll go to this. Very quickly.
There you go.
Yes.
There it is. Thank you.
5.3 million people. I took this from Wikipedia. 186 ethnic people groups in Russia total. Yeah. And Bashkirs, Tatars and Bashkirs are the biggest ethnic groups unreached with the gospel. City of Ufa is the capital of Bashkortostan, 1.2 million.
Ron, what's your question, brother?
I'm surprised that they even allowed a Christian to go in a mosque.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two.
He was not Christian. He became Christian being an imam,
okay.
Which is...
My other half of that question is, what happens to those who convert to Christianity? How do their families react?
Different. First of all, some people... Thank you for the question. Some people are secular. You know, it's like identity. If you're Russian, you're Orthodox. You've never been to church, probably. You were baptized as an infant, maybe, maybe not. But... You know, it's identity. You're Russian, you're Orthodox. If you're Tatar or Bashkir, you're Muslim. You never read the Quran, never went to church, to mosque, never prayed five times a day, but you're born Tatar. It's identity. So as soon as, you know, they can be drinking vodka together, Russians and Tatars. But when they go to the face, oh, no, I'm Tatar, I'm Muslim. They suddenly realize, even they're secular, they've never been to mosque, they're secular. But it's identity, their identity. They identify themselves as Tatars, as Bashkirs.
Does that then make them a little more open to the gospel?
Yeah, it's secular. Yeah. If they're people secular, we don't go through the Quran to them. We go straight to the gospel, New Testament. If people are religious, we said, Quran says about Isa this. We take this. Quran has two basic, like the beginning of Quran is like kind of friendly to Christians. And Muhammad says, you know, if you don't know, understand something, go to the holy books, which is Injil and Torah. Go to there. And the Christians and Jews are friends. But he wanted to convert them into Islam. When he realized that he can't convert Jew to Islam or Christian, then he became very harsh on them, and the rest of Quran is like hateful, and you know, there's different Quran, I would say. But the first part, we take these pieces from the first part of Quran. And in Quran it says that Jesus will come at the end and he will judge the nations. Oh, wow, who is he? Wow, let's go and learn more about him. Where can we learn more about Jesus? In New Testament, and we want to put people from learning Quran to New Testament and the Bible. That's our goal. And if they will start reading, that's our goal. If they start, their eyes will be open. We definitely see it many, many times. When people start to read Bible, New Testament, their eyes is open. Yes?
Just a question of curiosity. How hard is it for Westerners to enter the countries now?
It's getting harder and harder. Looks like Russia is closing down. We are U.S. citizens, was born in Ukraine, and we are not good to Russia now. And we are from America, and we are evangelicals. Oh, three strikes. Not good. Yeah, it's harder and harder getting, you know.
Someone else?
We are there with Russian church. We are behind. We are like invited by Russian church. National Church, Evangelical, Born Again Believers, and we work alongside with them. We don't do anything ourselves anymore. We go with them and evangelize, and we are on the backside supporting, helping, equipping, and discipling believers, and they do the job on front because it's very dangerous. Love is kind of less and less freedom we see in Russia, especially in these ethnic people groups. They're watching very carefully. We know they're always watching us, but now they're watching more. They're watching both Islamic people too, because there are some radicals, people who are coming from Saudi, from Turkey, from Yemen, and they're teaching really like right Islam and making this people, especially young people, to go and join ISIS. We saw people who are training and sending out people to join ISIS. Yeah, and KGB is watching both. They're watching us, they're watching them. So they don't know, they understand that we are bringing not politics there. We are bringing Jesus Christ, salvation, freedom, love. That's what we're bringing. Yes. But Islam is bringing something different. Oh. Prayer. I'll go to the prayer. Praise the Lord. He is great. I'm not. Yes, sir.
Ivan?
See, in Russia, they're all propaganda is one way. Only what Central TV is showing is one way from the government, what they want you to know. There's some short waves, but and some internet. People who know English more, there's more English information. In Russia, very little different information. We have a couple stations, Echo of Moscow station, which have different little view. We have one channel, but it's only cable, which is called Rain Dorsch. That's a different channel that have different view. But mostly the whole media central, it's all one way. Yeah, it's only anti-Western. Wow. Only younger people who know English, they can go and see different news. I usually watch news on internet. Some Western news, Ukrainian news, and then Russian news is very different. It's a different thing. Yes.
Influenced the area of Russia. Most of the young people have smartphones to get on the
everybody
internet.
Has smartphone.
Everybody has smartphones.
Everybody, yeah. But on the internet, they're blocking some sites, unwanted sites. They're blocking more and more. They want to block Telegram. It's a big service Russian guy started, and they're blocking it in Russia. And other sites, they're blocking. But people have access to internet. Everybody has a cell phone. It's free, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of sites they can go online. But you need to go and search, not many people searching. Yeah, young people are more open to the gospel, to the news, to the different view, different point. You know, they're more into it. Younger generation, yes.
I heard that a lot of Muslim nations
Yes, yes. Marcel was one of them. He saw the dream that some men in white show him, and he said, "Follow me." Who is he? And he definitely knew it was not Muhammad. It was somebody else. And but the problem is, I know this movement coming, and I heard many stories, and I met people already, like Marcel and other, who have saw the dreams, and they believe in dreams. But their imams are telling, "Oh no, no, don't go there. It's from Satan." And people scared. Some people who can talk more about this, they can talk. But most people scared. Imam said it's not from God. It's from Satan. So they go shut down and and they don't talk about it. They don't know anything about Bible. That's our goal, to bring them Bible. And, you know, for them, revelation is nothing. They don't know anything about gospel or Bible, anything. That's our goal, to bring them the good news on their own language and bring them the good news. Yeah. We understand because we know the Bible. We know the stories, and they don't know. And very often we're doing storying. We're saying story, like story Abraham, yeah, we're saying this story. In Quran it says about Prophet Ibrahim. We go there and take this story of how he brought his son to put on altar. And it's like same like Jesus was perfect sacrifice. We don't have to do Korban Bayram right now, because it's Jesus, he became Korban. Korban Bayram is a celebration when they cut and to take a lamb and do sacrifice for the sins to be forgiven. And we have perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, perfect Lamb of God. And that's what we put parallel stories of Old Testament and go to the New Testament. He's the one. Yeah, we do this. And right now in Russia, we are working with a Russian church to create sending out an agency. Amazing stories how God is working miraculously in countries like Syria. All we know about Syria is a war, but God is using right now Russian church to bring good news to Syria. Americans cannot go there, Western world cannot go to Syria, but Russians are welcome there because Russians are friends with Syria, with the regime. So believers can go and bring the good news to Syrians, because if they come from Russia, everything has to be good. So why not to use it to bring good news, Bibles and New Testament? And it's amazing stories. In Aleppo, the city was bombed the most. Most pastors, there was some Christians left, and one pastor is still there. And we met this pastor. He was coming to Russia and said, "Brothers, please come and help us. Western world is not coming and will not come soon. But you can, and we welcome you." And this pastor, he is a national hero. He's a good surgeon. He was doing a lot of surgeries when there was time when there was war coming on, and he's well-known doctor, surgeon. Second, he's a pastor of a Baptist church in downtown Aleppo, and God gave him a vision to dig wells, deep wells in the city of Aleppo when war started, and people are saying, "Why you do? There's lots of water." And he, God told me, and he drilled 9 deep wells. And when ISIS cut down the water and shut down the power, this water saved the city. Amazing. Who was left in the city. They drink this water. And now he's a national hero. People know about him. He saved the city. And he's well open. But his church is not big now. They have 90 widows, because ISIS cut their husbands, cut their heads off, because they was not willing to convert to Islam. And says, "Brothers from Russia, please come and serve us, serve these widows. These kids, for 6 years, war's going on. We don't have schools. We need to go and teach our kids and do camps and stuff." And they're very open. And people, got tired of Islam. And they're open to something new. And if you bring them good news and love and forgiveness, that's what we are bringing them. Not revenge, but forgiveness. And that's what they need right now, is forgiveness and love and peace. And it's time, unique for Russian church. And now we are preparing and sending out people from Russia to Syria, to North Korea. Can you believe? It's open for Russians. It's close to Western world. To South Korea is closed. To America is closed. But it's open to Russia. We send already. We have people who are, we don't say missionaries, but they are doing business in North Korea, building something, but they're preaching the gospel to local people if it's possible, because all the time they're watching walking behind the back and watch. It's hard, but there are some people, for Russia is opening, God is doing something, opening doors for Russians to go to different places where Western world cannot go. And we think, thank God, let's use it, let's train, let's prepare. That's our goal, is prepare Russians, and especially people like Tatars and Bashkirs, they'll be more welcome in the Muslim world. Iran, another country that's close to Western world, but they're open to Russians, and we are sending people to Iran. Turkey, another place, we are sending people to Turkey. Wow. It's open for Russians. That's what God is doing, and we want to be part of it. We are leaving in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. We're going back to Russia. We still need to raise a little support. If you want to take some our prayer cards, and we have some newsletters here, if you want to take it with you, pray for us, and we'll be sending you updates, what we have. Yeah, so we have this kind of thing. If you want to take and pray for us and be partners, and we would like to reach together the world with your Muslim world.
I'm sure we could listen and David could share hundreds of stories. I'm really thankful for you being here.
Praise the Lord.
Stay here a second. Steve, would you come? Let's just pray for David. And we're going to, worship team, can you come on up? And when we're done praying here, we'll sing, and then let's begin to pray. You're welcome to join us, too. I just wanted Steve, you, Jay, if you want to come up, and anybody, we're just going to pray and ask God to do many things. God, I want to thank you for the privilege that it is to have David and his wife here. I'm glad that their family was able to come and maybe be refreshed and be with each other. But God, I am overwhelmed by the need in Russia. I don't think I've prayed for Russian missionaries to go to Iran, to Syria, to these other places. And God, thank you that you are raising up, often through the influence of people like David, these missionaries to go into the parts of the world that we as Westerners cannot go. Mm-hmm. And God, I pray that you would raise up many. Thank you, Lord, that you have a witness and that you call people to serve you. And Lord, I pray for David and for his wife. And I pray, Lord God, that you would provide for them. I thank you for their boldness and their courage and this passion that you have given them to bring the gospel. And I know, Lord, that their mission is a faith mission. After all these years, they're still going, and you're providing. And I thank you that you use the church, the body of Christ, here, Pioneer Bible Church, and other churches, and churches in other countries who can be part of the supporting team. And I pray, Lord, that you would move us as a church to know how we can more specifically support David in his mission there. And God, I just thank you that we can hear his story. Help us, Lord, to take it to heart and to pray for them. Thank you. Others pray.
God, we just want to continue to pray for David and Alicia. Thank you for their dedication and love to Russian and Muslim people. And we pray that you may continue to use them and with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, only you are the Almighty God who can move the hearts of those who belong to the kingdom. And we believe, God, that you will continue to use them and many other Russians as they go. God, that many may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ from the Muslim world. We do pray in your precious name.
Mm-hmm. just to understand that, say, for your children, give them a new identity through Jesus Christ.
Father, we pray and lift David and his family, Alicia, to you. Thank you, God, for using them. We pray that you give them boldness, and Lord, that you would, as Elijah talked about, a double portion of your blessing, that you would send them out again and use them to your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Let's worship together.
I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to reflect on God's goodness and his faithfulness, and we all have stories of God's faithfulness, and
yes.
David shared such wonderful stories of how God has been so good to him over the years. Bless you, and I'm very happy Father's Day, you guys.